Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Tuesday night after the conclusion of the California Classic. Kings are on their way. Well, the other team is going to be playing in San Francisco. And then they head to Las Vegas, Nevada, as the Kings start the Vegas Summer League July 12th. We will be there July 11th. And we got a lot to talk about on the podcast, including DeMar DeRozan Day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling today DeMar DeRozan Day. It was the first chance he had the opportunity to talk to the media in Sacramento. We'll talk about his press conference. We also haven't talked about the news regarding Kings rookie Devin Carter. He's going to need shoulder surgery. We'll discuss that. And we'll look ahead to the Vegas Summer League. Plus, we'll share our conversation with the six-time All-Star DeMar DeRozan. I'm Deuce. That's Mo. How you doing, Morgan?
So good. I had such a fun night. Really fun night. Actually a fun day. A fun couple of days. Jam-packed. But today was super.
I'm sorry. I just got distracted. I'm just...
By what?
Your hair is just kind of chaotic today.
What do you mean?
I don't know, man. It's just like...
My hair look... Are you being...
It looks good on camera. I just think from my angle, it looks weird.
Honestly, you want... Here, I'll go... No.
I'm just
Let me tell you what's really weird. So you've like three hairs right here under your nose. And I'm like, ew, did you forget to shave that area? That's weird. It's like, get a times 10 mirror, dickhead.
This wasn't meant to be like a sparring session.
My hair looks good on camera. That's all that matters.
I know. It just is popping. You know? I don't know.
Are you talking about my grays? Dude.
Okay.
What? Like, honestly, that is what you're talking about because I noticed them today too, but I like them. And for you to say, look, your hair is a mess. Grays are natural, dude.
It's not about your
I'm
grays.
A natural bitch.
It's
Shut
not,
up.
It's not about your grays, man.
What is
it? It's just like kind of puffy on the sides. That's all. I don't know. Maybe it's your headphones. It just doesn't.
This is the.
We will move on. I wasn't planning on going here. It just was, you know. Got popped down my face. It's all, I'm sorry. Okay, how we doing, everybody? DeMar DeRozan day was fun, huh?
I literally just got done talking about how super my day was, and then you said you were distracted.
I'm glad you reminded me, because I forgot.
Yeah, because you went into a negative, really mean thing by making fun of me.
Okay.
Get him.
You're right, though. The last few days have been a lot of fun.
Yes,
California Classic. Duh. We are part of the broadcast each day. Two games a day we rotated, working with the GOAT Mark Jones, who is so great to work with. And his daughter, Sophia Jones, who is the nicest. What a fun experience. This was my first time in the analyst role.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it on TV, but I'm talking about from a play-by-play analyst role. Usually I'm doing play-by-play. So it was fun to get a new experience and kind of feel it out and go, ooh, I like this part of it. Oh, I got to do this a lot better. Ooh, this was a learning experience. So it was fun.
Deuce, you have now done play-by-play. Shut up. Play-by-play, color, and sideline, all on national television. Like, that's really cool.
This wasn't meant to be like, oh, let's worship
Deuce. I'm not
but
worshiping
if we
you.
Want to spend 15 minutes discussing it with the chat, we can.
No, either way.
No, it was just a cool experience.
It was so cool. And I had so much fun talking to you about it because, obviously, I'm usually in that role as a color analyst. And so for you to like understand sometimes with the timing and cadences and just like really what you're trying to break down in some of these live action moments, it was cool. It was really cool. I'm really happy with how the games were today. And again, working with someone like Mark Jones was just, I mean, he's about to go to Vegas and work with Doris Burke. Like,
yeah.
He's doing Bronny's game that there. Chair.
Yeah. That's fun.
So cool.
Yeah. He's the greatest.
That was so fun.
We also had a chance to talk to DeMar DeRozan today after his press conference. DeMar was kind enough after his press conference, and shout out to the Kings for making this happen. They allowed like one-on-ones with DeMar DeRozan for like everybody in the media, you know, like all the local TV stations, radio, podcasts, newspaper, they all got a chance to sit with DeMar, and it was short, right? 4 minutes. For me, I'm always reluctant to do those type of interviews because you just never get like, you know what I mean? You just never.
I'm just happy to be here. This is so cool, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you're just like, well, all right, we got to go.
Sure.
You know, and so we had talked last night where we could get this opportunity, and we're like, should we just do it? Like, it's DeMar DeRozan. We should do it. And then we did it, and I told Morgan, that might be the best 4-minute interview we have ever done in our lives. So enjoy our chat with DeMar DeRozan. We're with the 6-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA player, the newest member of the Sacramento Kings, DeMar DeRozan. DeMar, last time I saw you in this building, you killed me. You scored 19 points in the fourth quarter, outscored the Kings in the fourth quarter, and you came back and beat Sacramento. Yeah. That was an insane night.
Yeah, that was a night. I remember that night vividly because, like, I always talk about the, you know, me being upset that I didn't get clutch player of the year 2 years ago. So I kind of carried that over to the game going in the fourth quarter of just like, I got to win this game in the fourth quarter, you know.
It was nasty, yeah. Man.
So I kind of took it personal. So that's where that came from. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is not an exaggeration. This is probably the biggest free agent signing that the Kings have had over the years. You know, they've made other trades for like marquee talent, but like the biggest free agent signing. Why did you feel like this was right for you?
Winning. Like, you know, you see it from the outside looking in. It's like, you know, that's the place that I want to win, you know, and not just saying it. Like, they all about it, you know, from top to bottom, from coaching staff to players. Like, you see it. It's one of those things that, you know, the fans yearning for, the players, the coaching staff. And when you see something like that, you want to be a part of, and you try to figure out how can I help to make sure that happens, you want to be a part of it.
Was there anything that you needed to hear to know that this was going to be the right fit, whether it was from De'Aaron or the front office, anybody?
I just need to hear win.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, you know, we trying to win. We could do something special. Those words always move me. And it was a genuine, you know, expression when I heard it from all those guys, you know.
It's interesting because you can't find, like, a former player, coach, broadcaster, anybody that's been around you that has anything bad to say. And the one thing that, like, jumps out to me is, like,
your pure love for like all aspects of the game. Like you're watching League Pass, you're in the gym, or you're just probably being around teammates. What do you love about the game? When you think about the game, like the purest form, like what do you love about it?
I mean, for me, it's the imagination part for me. Ooh. I remember being a kid doing a fadeaway falling on the bed. You know, it's the whole, I'll put it like this. You know, the intro to Space Jam?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
That's to me, that's the game. Mm. You know, that's exactly what I feel when I think of the game. So to get that feeling from the game, you can't do nothing but fully respect it and love the game. So that's I've never used that analogy of Space Jam, but that's for me, that's exactly what it is.
You can see that joy that you play with and obviously that competitive spirit that you play with, because what really stands out to me all the time is when I talk to Deuce about guys is their availability. Yeah. And this stat always sticks out to me. You've played in 93% of the games in your career. Is that a mental thing, a physical thing? What is it that is keeping you out there?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. You know, one thing I always talk to my trainer about when I'm working out in the summertime, he always asks me, you know, what's the goal for this year? And I always say 82. Like that's always been a goal of mine, is to play 82, you know, and because coming from the playing back in the day, I hate to sound old, but it was a thing to where it was like, you know, my mentor Kobe always said, like, you never know who's out there to watch you at any given night. So I'm going to try to play every single game. So that aspect goes into it. Challenge yourself just to want to play 82 games. There's so many aspects for me that I just lean on that means so much to me to want to be available every night.
We appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sacramento. I think
so
you're going to love it.
So excited to have you here.
People get more excited once they, like, get here and they're like, oh, this – the energy from the people.
For sure, yeah.
You're going to dig it. So
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
One, he just...
He's so good.
You said it, Morgan. He listens. And like, it's not just like he's sitting there like, all right, what's the super question? Like, he's listening to your question, and then he gives you a great answer.
From the start.
When I asked him, like, what's the thing, the thing you love about basketball in its purest form? And he says imagination and seeing your reaction of going, whoa.
I literally looked at you, and I'm like... I love him.
I was like, that is so sweet. And then he's talking about like the first scene in Space Jam, you know what?
And so anyway, if you have not seen it, you got to check it out. It's 4 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
And he's just a really nice guy. And I know he did a ton of interviews today. So it was just really cool to get the chance to chat with him, and hopefully we get him longer in the future. That's always the goal, you know, Mo.
LFG says, you guys seemed nervous interviewing him.
What? You know what's so funny? We've got comments about the opposite.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, you guys seem like you like knew each other.
Very
great chemistry. There was zero nerves at all. But if you're saying like, was I my like, no, I'm not gonna do that in that
four minutes,
and there's like the media is literally in a line waiting to talk to him. I still did the we got a 6-time All-Star. I was working the camera. I was working the room.
I just read it as a joke. You're like having to justify things.
You're right.
There you go. Good. Right. Yeah. No. Calm down.
It was as someone in the chat said, it was chill, man.
It was really cool.
It was cool. And really, really got, and I thought it was a cool opportunity too. Just awesome. Anyway, let's talk about DeMar DeRozan's press conference, Morgan.
Ooh.
Reagan. You left feeling like, oh my God, I love this guy more.
Yeah. And
why is that?
I think the way that he answers questions, the I'm trying to think of the right word, like the intention behind his answers. It's like he cares and he does say the right things. And I think that does come with him being a veteran and a professional, but at the same time, you can tell like there's something there that is very genuine and authentic with it as well. And, you know, it being asked about anything from the city to winning to the beam, and then getting more into the basketball side of things when he was asked about playing a certain position and just talking about how I played basketball on teams when there was two bigs. You know, like I've played traditional in a traditional format. I've played in so many different styles over the years as the NBA keeps evolving. And I don't know. It gave me more confidence in him even as a player.
Yeah, I think he really focused on how he can adapt to almost any situation because he loves the game and he just embraces that. And I think he had the best example. This was one of my favorites from the press conference today.
Adapt and just need be. I really don't look at it like it's a position thing. I look at it as a fit thing, whatever is needed for a night, any given night. You know, I never really put too much thought on a position, you know, because nowadays you got, you know, centers playing point guard in this league. So, you know, for me, I try to be like water, be shapeless, formless, and be able to adjust to anything. You know, I try
to be like water.
I want
to
be like water now.
You know, Mark Jones brought this up on the broadcast after we played this, and he's like, you know, that's like Bruce Lee has that quote, that famous quote, you know, of being like water. And I mean, he's pretty elite at everything he's ever done. So I just loved that answer from DeMar.
Yeah, I think you walked away going, this guy's just a professional. I mean, I'm not surprised by any of it, right? Because he's been in this game for a long time. 15 years, 6 All-Star appearances, 3 All-NBA. He's an Olympian. Like, he's been through it. He's been on good teams. He's been in tough situations. He's seen a little bit of everything. So I think he's got great perspective. But I just like how he's talking about, I want to embrace this challenge, and how it felt good to be so wanted.
Yes.
That he felt wanted from Sacramento from the jump. And I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I think he understands that there is a challenge that lies ahead, but he also feels confident in where this everything is headed, right? And not only just because you're wanted and you can make money being with this organization, but you also believe in the teammates and the pieces and in the structure that Mike Brown brings with everything.
I think the other interesting aspect that was brought up by actually Mark Jones is, and it's so true, DeMar DeRozan's playmaking.
Uh-huh.
He's an underrated playmaker. I think he showed his passing ability a lot in San Antonio. I mean, he did in Chicago too, but he could play multiple roles. And to have another guy who can handle the rock, but he's not only looking to score, he's looking to set up his teammates as well. I think that's an aspect of his game that's going to really help the Kings offense next season. Do you just look at the options? I mean, I was watching DeMar yesterday, Morgan. And in all the highlights I was watching, the best guy, the best defender was on him. The best defender on the perimeter was on DeMar DeRozan. And he was still getting 25. He was still getting guys on his pump fakes. He was still getting to the free throw line. He was still getting buckets and making things happen on offense. And so you start thinking about how good this could be when you've got Sabonis, who commands a lot of attention as the hub for the Sacramento Kings. This is a big body. You start thinking about De'Aaron Fox, right? And the attention he receives from other teams because of his scoring ability and his ability to be a catch-and-shoot three guy, how he improved his three-point shooting. Then you think about Keegan Murray's gravity out there. You could see the potential of what can be a really special offense.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's also like you're kind of saying the potential of some of these others. You know, Keegan Murray taking a leap, being more aggressive on the offensive end, not being as passive, and then De'Aaron Fox having another year under his belt with Keegan, with Domas, with Malik now re-signing with the Sacramento Kings, and it's all going in the right direction with adding a piece that is as solid as DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. And I guess I mean solid too, because I think about it being positionless for him at times. I think Monty even brought up in the press conference, 2, 3, 4, like he threw 4 in there, like all confident shit. And I was what are we going? Small ball? Like,
relax, Monty. I mean, who are you playing? But
yeah. Either way, though, I think it goes to who DeMar is as a basketball player, and he would be capable of any challenge that was thrown at him if it was an in-game adjustment or just a weird matchup.
Sorry, Carlin just...
Hi, Carl.
What's up, buddy? Lay down. Good job, Carlin. Carlin's getting excited about DeMar DeRozan. Oh. Yeah, I also think the Kings offense is just going to have it's going to be diversified a little bit. You know, I obviously still think the 3-point game is going to be really important to what this team is able to do. But when you have the mid-range attack of DeMar DeRozan, a guy who can put pressure on the rim and get to the free throw line, I think it's going to make the Kings a really, really talented offensive team. And I was talking to someone about Keegan Murray. Keegan right now is getting a great opportunity. He's been with Team USA, the select team in Las Vegas. They're doing scrimmages against Team USA to be a part of that. And I know Jamal Mosley, who's one of the coaches out there, was talking about Keegan Murray. And here's what he had to say about Keegan in Las Vegas.
He does such a great job of just playing the role that he's been given, being able to step in and make shots, being a playmaker when needed to, took on defensive assignments. I thought he's done a great job. You know, whatever you ask him to do, he's willing to go out there and do because he's got a great basketball mind, being able to stretch the floor as well as take on defensive assignments.
And you see him in that video I just played for the YouTube audience. He was cooking Steph Curry and hitting a dagger in his face. But I also heard this.
Oh, what else did you hear?
He was working out with one of the best defenders in the league a little bit ago this offseason. Okay. He was working out with Herb Jones of the Pelicans. What's the connection? Well, they have the same agent, right? Okay. So a lot of these guys with, you know, similar agents, they get together, work out or whatever. But Herb Jones was raving about what Keegan was bringing to the table.
Damn. Offensively?
Yeah, just... from what I understand, I guess Herb was just saying, yeah, man, he doesn't say a lot, but he's a killer. And they had some great battles one-on-one. And you start thinking about like how Keegan kind of shaped his game last year. He had to play De'Aaron Fox one-on-one like every day. And what that did for him defensively, well, think about for him now going up against someone like Herb Jones in workouts, what that can do for him offensively, like the challenge of the length. And
think about when Keegan was playing De'Aaron all summer long, one-on-one.
That's what I just said.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying is...
you didn't hear me?
I did. That's weird.
Yeah, you just repeated what I said.
I know, but that is so weird because I swear on everything I heard you and that you didn't actually said that. I thought you were just talking about Herb Jones.
I started with De'Aaron. I said, think about what he did last year and what he... how. Guarding De'Aaron every day helped his defense, and he started to play great defense.
I guess
so many
I was
positions.
Going along the same line.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point, David. I wasn't going to say it. You
okay.
Will.
Hey, I'm not Dick, say it. You've done this before too.
But David was just saying it's the grays. I didn't say that. David in the chat said it's the grays. I didn't even notice.
There's no David. Oh yeah, hey, there is a David. It's the grays. Shut up, David.
Anyway, my whole point, though, is that, you know, like, yes, I agree with you. We agree. We're on the same page with the De'Aaron thing. How much it helped his game last year, especially defensively, going up against De'Aaron Fox's speed and what he could do as a change of pace guard in this league, right? So for him to get some opportunities to go one-on-one with Herb Jones, I think that helps his game. And then this experience, just playing with other people, being around other coaches, being around great talent, that helps your game.
And
so,
do you remember like last year when he went up against De'Aaron Fox? No, I'm kidding. Seriously though, going up against different competition is so valuable. And I think sometimes it's not always easy to just like set up and go. Like you have to be willing. You have to be willing to put in the effort to make some sacrifices and plan ahead and make these things happen. And so I love that he is putting in that work against one of the best defenders in the league. So then you can put him in more ISO situations.
Yeah.
He just needs to be more aggressive. Mark Jones said he was talking to someone with Team USA and they even said that, yeah, sometimes Keegan just wants to be passive. And it's like, he's just got to go. And so hopefully with another year under his belt, he'll do just that.
Dennis in the chat says the offense is not going to be bottled up anymore. And I agree with that. I mean, it should, there's too many times if like Fox was off the floor, Monk was out, it just got clunky out there. You needed more creation. And I don't think that's going to be an issue. I mean, bringing back Monk, like you were talking about earlier, with De'Aaron, with DeMar, I mean, that's a pretty powerful group that can go out there, play make, get buckets. I'm excited to see it.
Also, every single person today that, like, I put up a DeMar clip or something, whatever, on my Instagram, I had so many people DM me just around the league being like, oh my God, I love him so much. Or, oh, he's the best. He's seriously just as genuine of a person that he is a presser behind the scenes. Like, they're like, we've got to find dirt on this guy.
No, we don't. There's no dirt. Wait, are you trying to take him down? What do you mean?
He's too good to be true.
There's anyone you talk to who's coached him, played with him, been around him, media
interacted with
everyone's
him.
Everyone's like, oh, this guy's just really awesome. You actually hear some really good things about Jordan McLaughlin, too, who they picked up as a person, too.
That's cool.
Super great in the community. But, yeah. And I just think, you know, we talk so much about the on-court stuff with DeMar. I do think even just his approach to the game, the lessons he learned, how vocal he is, encouraging he is. I think he, to your point about Keegan, like, having someone like DeMar DeRozan, who's done at a high level for so long, who's evolved his game. Like, when he first got in the league, as they talk about the press conference today, like, this guy was out dunking on people all the time. I think Marty was talking about it. He's like, dunking, he was an athlete. And then he just kept tweaking his game, adding. He's got a passion and a love for the game that is very pure. And I think that can help someone like Keegan Murray, who I think has a similar passion for the game. Like, Keegan is just
great point,
like, into it. But sometimes you need people to, you know, poke at you a little bit, pry, kind of get inside your head and help you get there. And yeah, I'm excited for what Keegan can do next year. But obviously, I think DeMar is going to have a big impact in that locker room. And one thing to add to that, I mentioned this the other night. Harrison Barnes had a big impact in that locker room, and he had a voice in there. A lot of guys looked to him and respected him. So when you lose a voice like that, you want to make sure you have another voice like that in the locker room, and they have a voice.
The passion that DeMar DeRozan has when he is talking about the game, and to be 35 years old.
He's 34 later.
You've seen some shit throughout all of these different.
In life, he has seen some stuff.
In life.
And he's been very open about that.
And I'm just talking about the basketball part of things, though. Yep. Like, you see some shit when you go through all these different organizations, losing organizations, just getting traded, blah, 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 whatever. And for it to never take his love of basketball down, and for him to always stay mentally strong in that category. Like, I just think about people even growing up, and you get paired with the wrong coach and it will screw up your love for the game forever, or the direction that you may go. The situation that you're in on a team could screw with the way that you actually look at the sport.
Yeah, even though could you imagine if you had to work with, like, some other guy on a podcast, your life would suck, you know? You know what I mean? Right? If you had to work with some, like,
what is?
Hey, it's Bruce
Payson.
Bruce Payson, the Bruce and Mo podcast, that podcast
Bruce
fails.
Bruce and Mo.
It sucks.
I mean,
it's a terrible podcast.
Either way,
yeah.
Sounds kind of nice. but yeah, I truly believe, like, His love for the game is at a whole nother level. And I know some people would go, well, why does that make it important? I think because it can be contagious with the people that you are around. Yeah. And when there are younger guys, not young, but younger guys on this squad, I think it's very important to have that type of mentality surrounding your locker room.
Why'd you come to Sacramento, though? Oh. There's nothing going on there.
Oh.
Gilbert Arenas.
What a loser. That's weird.
I at one point in my life, when I think this is not bad. Gilbert, when he was prime Gilbert Arenas in Washington, and he was hitting game winners all the time, there was a season it was just like, dude, this guy was just disgusting. I remember, I actually bought this picture on NBA.com once, because it just was one of my favorite moments. Like, he launched a three against Utah. I believe it was a game winner, if I'm not mistaken. And as he launched it, he turned around and raised his arms in the air, and it went in. Oh. And it was just one of those that I just, like, I vibe with you. It's amazing how, like, Gilbert has just turned into, like,
a bitter
person. Like, what are you trying to achieve? And it's not even about him and, like, taking shots at Sacramento. Like, he's just, he was, like, shitting on the city and, like, the typical things. It's a cow town.
Like, it didn't even bother me because I was old news. Yeah, this is off.
It's 2002 again, I guess. I don't know. But it's just funny because, like, I see the clips of his podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, none of you guys, like, do you guys like anything about the game?
Yeah.
It's you and bitter ass Rashad McCants. Here's my Rashad McCants story. The Kings traded for him from the Minnesota T-Wolves, and he comes to Sacramento. And before a game, and this is like, he's fresh on a new team. You're thinking, oh, this guy's going to embrace a new opportunity. The Minnesota thing didn't go well. He's in Sacramento now. They had this thing called a high five line before a game during warmups. Okay. These little kids are just
get on each side. Yeah, they're on put out their hands.
And you know what the players do when they come out? They run through it and they give high fives. Mm-hmm. This dude just went around it. He's like, I'm not going through it. I'm like, this guy's, and ever since I went, he's an asshole. And I'm like, there's no wonder why he flamed out of the NBA. So now you've got these, like, bitter players who just, like, go on a podcast and they just shit on the cities, game, the games, players. And I'm like, you don't even, why? Are you,
why are you, watch? Well, no, here's my thing. Why are you even talking about it if you hate it so much?
Brandon Jennings, another guy. I'm like, why do you guys hate everything?
It's
every clip is like clowning somebody.
And that's why when it does get clipped, I don't even care. Yeah. I just don't care.
And I've seen a lot of people mention this on social in the chats talking about this now. How apparently, like, Gilbert Arenas' ex-wife.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day, a long time ago, used to work in Sacramento for the Kings for a couple of years, and that's where he met her. I'm like, oh, so it's like some deeper thing where he has this, like, weird grudge. But I don't know. It's just, anyway, he took all these shots against Sacramento.
Therapy.
And it was like, yes, it was a classic, like, why would DeMar go there? It's like, you know why DeMar probably chose Sacramento? Let me tell you why.
Why?
A couple of reasons. Other teams were interested in Miami, you know, the LA team, Sacramento. Sacramento was able to do something that other teams weren't able to do. And that was able to maneuver because of contracts they had and get creative and create a three-team trade that allowed them to pay him his market rate. And in some cases, you could argue, probably should have cost a little more. It's a really team-friendly deal. The other teams could only offer him mid-level.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I feel like the Kings got a great deal for DeMar, what they're paying him, which is like 24-ish million a year.
Correct.
To act like DeMar DeRozan, a player who has averaged 20 or more in 11 straight seasons, to the impact he can have on a team, on a culture, and still do it on the floor at his age and being available in 93% of his career games, he's definitely worth more than the mid-level in the NBA of $12.4 million. If he were to do that, he is sacrificing. And then you go, okay, go to Miami. Is he the missing piece in Miami? I mean, probably not. L.A.? Probably not. Sacramento? He's probably not the missing piece here either. But when you go and compare those situations, I think the Kings are set up in a good spot. He even mentioned Mike Brown today and talked about seeing him say, turn on the Jets, and how he, like, vibed with that. And him, he's always had respect for Mike Brown.
Yep.
He goes way back with Jay Triano. That was his first ever NBA coach. I think the Kings had something. They created space. They wanted him. They made it happen. They paid him well. And they've got a good situation. That's why he chose Sacramento. Well,
him talking about feeling wanted was something that he said was huge to him. And not to say that other teams wouldn't obviously present themselves as that when they're trying to acquire him or anything. But at the same time, it was like he was wanted and knew that there would be an important and impactful role for him as well. And I think that's something too, when you look at some of these almost trades with Kyle Kuzma a few years ago, even, I think for him, he still wants and wanted to test out being the guy, being the person, and he was not going to be that here. He was going to be like a number four, if anything, number three, four. I mean, wherever, it depend on how his game would evolve and develop under this organization. But I think overall, like as a, when you're a hooper and you love the game, you want to also put yourself in a situation where you're going to be playing good basketball. And I think he truly believes that with De'Aaron Fox, with Domas Sabonis, with Mike Brown coaching, that good basketball will be played here in Sacramento.
Yeah, and
doesn't mean perfect basketball, no, but good basketball.
I think he sees a great opportunity, and this team is close to being a team that can make some noise in the West. And they still have some other weaknesses that we could talk about too, because someone in the chat was asking about it. But yeah, I think this for him is like a really good opportunity. He still has a lot to give on the court and off the court.
Agreed.
I think he's going to embrace the opportunity in a big, big way. I'm trying to think about the other point I was going to make about him. It's going to bug me, DeMar DeRozan. Blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, I like the guy. What can I say? I like the guy. Can you guys tell? If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up, subscribe. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us on a Tuesday night.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You okay?
Why?
Your eyeballs look a little tired.
I see what you're doing.
I'm not doing anything.
I see what you're doing because I got distracted for a quick second about something on you, and it wasn't a big deal.
No, I was just talking about like the shading underneath your eyeballs.
This is very interesting.
Darker than usual. So weird.
This is not what I was going to say, but what?
What?
Can we just talk about Vivek for a second, the video he put out?
They're nothing like us.
It was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I just love the drop now.
Oh, it's so good. I meant to put it into the, I meant to put it in the soundboard, but.
They're nothing like us.
I'm sorry. I'm every time I hear that song now, not like us. I'm hearing Vivek yeah. every time.
You know, it'd be real. So
that and
it can go.
Like us.
It can go two ways. If the Kings are really God. Good, it becomes part of the song.
Oh, that's actually merch. We should drop merch. You know what? We may drop merch anyways. Because there's
Actually, no, I already started something.
Did you? Okay, yes. Good idea.
So we will have that coming out this week. Also, I was going to say, though, if the Kings, for some reason, like if they dealt with health and like the Western Conference and they sucked.
It's a meme.
It's
a meme.
It will not age well. But I think it's fun. I think it's cute for now. And
also, I love the people that were calling it corny or cringy. I'm like,
aww.
Okay, you mean the old guy is doing something kind of cheesy?
Like yeah, hip. It's like,
that's a dad thing to do. Like, who can? I wouldn't call it hip. Well, it is so funny.
He's trying to do something hip.
It's just so funny how, like, it is the easiest line ever. And he totally got it wrong. But DeMar's laugh was hilarious. He just busted up laughing.
It's so cute. I don't know why I find it so cute.
Dude, you know some, like, DJ in Sacramento? Like, I mean, are there clubs in Sacramento? Tiger? Could I sound any more out of touch? Are there clubs in Sacramento? I know some DJ. God, I'm so stupid sometimes.
The Mix?
The Mix, I think, is shut down. There? They're redoing
it. No, I thought that's the Park.
That's the Park.
See? Look at me.
Can I be honest? Never been a club guy.
Neither have I, but you still...
You cannot find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Okay. Anyway, what I was going to say is... Someone's got to remix that shit in Sacramento.
Like, you just did a Vivek. Like,
I know!
Like, dad joke over here.
District 30, says Lizzie. Okay, sorry, guys. You're not going to find Deuce Mason at a club on a Friday.
Yeah, look at you. Like,
last year, when we were in Vegas, we had a chance to go to some club in Vegas with some people.
Diplo.
And we were just like, yeah, Diplo.
A performer named Diplo, I'm not familiar, was performing.
And we're like, no, I don't want to do that, man. I'm good. Anyway, my whole point was some DJ has to mix that in with the song.
If the Kings are having a positive season, hell yeah.
Yeah.
They're nothing like us. They're nothing like... And it's cute. Can you play it one more time?
Yeah.
I do like how he like raises his voice. He goes...
You're so proud.
Could have gone anywhere, but...
They're nothing like us.
They're nothing like us.
Oh my God, it's so cute.
They're nothing like us. No, no, no.
I die.
Oh man. Devin Carter, Morgan, on some bad news.
I know.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Three people will get that reference. So Devin Carter, the Kings rookie, the 13th pick. We heard about the shoulder thing. He guess he heard it during a pre-draft workout. You know, of course, Dr. Deuce is watching going, is it that bad? I saw him in that one Kings video where he hit the cowbell. He lifted up his arms. It looked good. Dr. Deuce, I think it's good to go. Turns out he's going to need surgery.
Yeah.
No official timetable has been released. Mm-hmm. I know Damian Barling suggested there's been some noise. He's heard that it could be 6 to 8 months.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Months.
Yeah. So not good news at all. Aww. It's kind of shitty. And I know some people are like, well, if they know that, why do you draft the guy? Because you trust your medical people. If you think that guy's the best player available and you think you can have an impact on your team for years to come, you get the surgery, get him right, and get him back.
Asked Monty McNair that on the broadcast.
Asked him what?
I asked him about Devin Carter. I asked him, I was like, you know, obviously he's getting surgery, but, you know, like, what are you hoping for when he comes back, blah, blah. And he's just like, he even said, it's like, when we drafted him, it was for the long run. It's not for right now, you know, especially in a draft like this, when, of course, you want an NBA-ready player, but you're also getting the best player available at that spot where they picked, and... It was Devin Carter.
The report from Shams said that he's expected to undergo left shoulder surgery next week. His status at the start of the season, next season, is in question, but he's fully expected to make a full recovery with no long-term issues. I know Pete Youngman, the Kings' old trainer, I saw him post something on social media about it, and he's like, look, I would not be concerned about a shoulder injury. I'm just being honest. So cool. I don't think long-term it's going to be a thing, but it is a setback. Like, let's not deny it, because I think they thought he could be really impactful for them now because of his ability to defend, his athleticism. So I think that is a significant loss. And it's a setback because you want this guy on the floor. It's not like he's a 19-year-old rookie where you're going, hey, like, you know, it's cool. You can be patient. It's like, you kind of, hey, I want this guy to play now. You want him to have an impact. But the reality is, he needs surgery. It's unfortunate. It's not like he tore an Achilles.
Yeah.
Or, you know, tore up his knee. It's like,
but they knew about his health drafting him.
Yes. And that's the other thing that I think should be mentioned, because I've heard others talk about this.
Yeah.
The NBA has new rules when it comes to medical information being distributed to teams. Back in the day in the NBA, we're talking about as recent as a few years ago, you'd hear a lot of talk about agents withholding medicals from certain teams. Like, if they didn't want to go to the team, they would, like, withhold information. And, like, no, you can't look at our shit. Yeah, it was really messed up.
That is so messed
up. Yeah, I mean, it's a good way to, you know, scare off teams, too. Like, no, you can't look at his medicals. And you're going, well, shit.
You're just going to have to guess.
Can we draft this guy? Yeah. Can we really take a chance? Anyway, so now the league, I think it was with the new CBA, if I'm not mistaken, okay. Could be wrong on this. They have, like, a database where, like, the teams have access to all the medicals for these guys.
Scary.
And then you know, get them in front of your doctors too. So I don't think they were, like, blindsided by this, but the reality is it's unfortunate. You want him out there playing. I don't know if that's the main reason they signed Jordan McLaughlin too. I think they probably pick him up anyway, because he's a guy that does some things that they want, right? He could push the pace. He could attack. He's a pesky defender. He's just kind of like a, in my opinion, I think he's, like, one of those perfect, like, third point guards on a team, and he's played on a winning team. So I think that's good that the Kings have someone like that.
Especially since you traded someone like Davion Mitchell well. Yeah. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you have a roster that you can go to some other guys. But, yeah, it's disappointing in some ways, but I don't know. I'm also along the lines, like, look, were you going to draft a healthy player that you didn't believe in? For the long run, though?
Right.
You know, and that's, I know ultimately it's like you wanted something to fix things right now, but you were also you had the 13th pick. You didn't have the fifth pick of the draft. You know, you didn't have maybe you weren't in a position where maybe it was going to be a no-brainer. Ultimately, this person's going to help you right now on the floor with De'Aaron and Domas to win, where they believe that this will be the answer going forward.
We don't know, like, the exact injury. I don't think that stuff has been released, besides that's a left shoulder injury that will need surgery. You know, like I mentioned, Damian Barling was saying he's hearing, like, maybe 6 to 8 months, but you won't know until you go in there for the surgery. Right. If it was like Kevin Herter's, well, Kevin Herter had his in March. Kevin Herter is, like, shooting now.
Cool.
So
great.
You want that. Then you have the flip side where some, like, Julius Randle had surgery on his shoulder and he was out for the rest of the year. A 6 to 8 month timetable, that would put Devin Carter at, like, January to March.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe there's a chance he misses the entire season, which would suck. It'd be like a redshirt year, I guess.
Yeah, that's what it would be.
He's been around the team, though. He's been at all the California Classic games. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He was there. He was there today as well. And it's good that he's been. I mean, he was at DeMar DeRozan's press conference.
I guess what else is he going to do? You know, he's kind of trapped in Sacramento at this point, you know.
So just go to everything?
Yeah.
I mean, he can go to a club.
Yeah, take the advice from Deuce. Where are you going?
They're nothing like us. They're nothing like us.
They're nothing like us. What is Kevin Herter's status? I don't know what his status. We haven't seen an update on Kevin Herter's status. I just know we've seen him getting shots up on Instagram. Speaking of Morgan mentioned Monty McNair. So I don't know if you guys even watched California Classic tonight. Monty McNair joined Morgan and Mark Jones on the broadcast. I feel like we should play a portion of it from the podcast. So this is going to be the audio of Monty McNair with Mark Jones and Morgan Reagan during the game. Morgan, what?
Is it going to get dinged?
Copyright?
Yeah.
Dare you.
Dare you.
No, I don't think so. Here we go.
Monty, earlier today, right up there on the concourse, we made it official with the signing of DeMar DeRozan. How would you characterize just how significant a move this is by the franchise?
Well, I think anytime you add a multi-time All-Star, but for him, 6 times All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, it's monumental. And, you know, for a free agent to do that, to choose to come here, you know, one of the biggest moments, certainly, in my tenure. And, you know, I think we're excited to see what's going to be on the floor.
I think all of Sacramento is excited to see what's going to happen on the floor. But I already feel like the energy has shifted with just his presence being here. Truly, I've never heard a teammate, a coach, or anyone have anything bad to say about this man. How has your interactions been behind the scenes so far?
Amazing. And, you know, we always, you know, hear about players throughout the NBA from friends and former coworkers, but to actually get to meet him and start to get to know him, just the ultimate professional, somebody who I think you've seen throughout his NBA career on the court, how he takes care of his body. I believe he led the league in minutes last year at 34. Just incredible. And then to do what he's done at Toronto, San Antonio, Chicago, now hopefully here in SAC, but the person, the leader, he just has a presence, and I think, you know, we're starting to feel that.
Monty, when you look at the fit of DeMar at the offensive end, you think about the way Sacramento has played the last couple of years under Mike Brown and Jay Triano's offense. A lot of player movement, ball movement. DeMar is a very understated passer, and I think a lot of people kind of miss that in the way that he configures into this offense.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll get a little nerdy here for you, Mark.
Please do.
One thing with DeRozan that we found that I think exemplifies his game, his impact on the team's turnover rate is one of the best in the league.
Wow. Okay.
So now he's able to do that because he can control so much of the offense living in the mid-range. But at the same time, he's able to get his team better shots, whether that's himself. He's an incredible shot maker. But with the passing is another part of that. And I think a lot of times you're having to trade off getting quality shots with turnovers, the ability to do both of those things, limit turnovers, get great shots. We have another guy, De'Aaron Fox, who does that. And Domas Sabonis, Kevin Huerter, these guys show up in those same metrics. So I think for Jay Triano, for Coach Brown, just another hooper, somebody who's got a bunch of skills. But those two things, the ability to limit turnovers, get good shots, I think is what kind of makes him special. It's a little hidden.
In the big games, you need a guy to be able to go get his own at the end of the shot clock, at the end of the half, at the end of the quarter. The Kings have two now, in essence, when you have the two top fourth quarter scorers, right?
Yeah, well, obviously, De'Aaron Clutch Player of the Year two years ago, and DeMar year in, year out. And I think it's his ability to draw fouls, his strength, his size, and now at 34, like, he's seen it all. Right. So you're not throwing anything at DeMar he hasn't seen. And, you know, I think the more threats you have out there, the harder it is. You know, you think about, all right, I'm going to put somebody on De'Aaron, and now I got to figure out somebody else to put on DeMar. And we haven't even talked about All-NBA Domas Sabonis,
right,
or Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk. There's going to be a lot of threats out there, and, you know, it's going to cause problems for other teams' defenses, we hope.
We keep talking about everything that he is capable of doing on the floor, but one of my favorite things is his ability to stay on the floor. Not only are you talking about the most minutes played last year, but 93% of his games in his career he has played. He's reliable. I mean, he's a leader out there. And how important is that to you to just keep chemistry and continuity going throughout the year?
Well, availability is the best ability is the old axiom. And, you know, that's a huge part of it. And, you know, you want your best players on the floor as much as you can. And DeMar's certainly going to be one of those guys for us. But we also seen that with De'Aaron and Domas. It's a big reason that they've been All-NBA and All-Stars, you know, the last 2 years. And so the more we can get those three on the floor, surround them with the talent that we have, you know, our hope is that we can compete with the best in the West.
There's a tangent.
There we go. Yeah. There is Monty McNair with Morgan Reagan and Mark Jones. And Morgan, I just remembered what I was going to say earlier about DeMar DeRozan.
What?
Because it was triggered
obviously
in here.
Obviously.
The love for the game, you know, the passion for the game. The Kings have a team full of guys that are like basketball focused. They all are obsessed with the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I vibe with people who love what they do.
Yep.
That's just all I was going to say
about
that.
I think that's why we get so excited when we were talking to someone like DeMar DeRozan, or even why when we were working with Mark Jones for the California Classic. I mean, he's obsessed with what he does, and not just basketball, but the craft of when it comes to broadcast and play-by-play. So, yeah, I enjoyed talking to Monty about that stuff too, because like when he did start to nerd out a little bit, I couldn't contain it. Call me unprofessional, but I would start clapping when he would get nerdy, or like when he was like, availability is the best ability. I was like, yeah. yes. Like, I was just so excited because it was exactly what I was thinking in that moment. So
what's next for the Sacramento Kings? I've seen the chat. Appreciate you guys being here in the chat. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. It's, well, what do they do? Like, what other moves can they make? Sounds like the Brandon Ingram thing is bye-bye. It's gone. Bye. You move on. The other reporting, Anthony Slater from The Athletic said that the Kings were really, really pursuing Lauri Markkanen extremely hard before they knocked out this deal with DeRozan, and they put pressure. It was a pick-filled offer, like they're offering first-rounders in the future to get Lauri Markkanen, but they put a deadline on it, and Utah did not meet the deadline, and Sacramento was like, we got to pivot. We got to close this shit with DeMar DeRozan, and they were able to get that done. James Hamm has reported that the Kings could still be in the mix for Markkanen or Kyle Kuzma.
Wow.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see Danny Ainge doing that. The next thing that's interesting is they can give Markkanen an extension August 6th, I believe, is the date. And if they did that then, they could trade him in 6 months.
Okay.
6 months from August 6th is February 6th, which is the actual NBA trade deadline day.
Whoa!
Sounds like the Warriors are in the mix too. You know, the more I look at the, I think the Kings need some more size. You know, like HB was like 6'7", 6'8", and even though he had defensive problems depending on the matchup, he still had some size out there. Sasha, same thing.
Yeah.
He was not out there a lot, but that was size. They add Jalen McDaniels, who's more like a wiry long guy.
Yeah.
I feel like they need a little more size.
I'm with you.
Give me Bobby Portis, man.
I mean, that would be cool. What, you have him stretching the floor a little bit?
He can stretch, and he's just like, I think at that four spot, you don't necessarily need like some crazy explosive score. You need someone that's going to do the dirty work, who's going to rebound, who is not going to be a liability, that can make a shot,
but
pass,
who's
maybe
not
an athlete.
Who is not going to be a liability and can come out. Who can come out on a four. Yeah, no, that's the thing. That can play next to Sabonis too.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's, it's,
that's why Portis is interesting. But I'm like, is he really available? I know his name's been brought up in rumors, but
Monty did say something about Domas and just like, yeah, he's working on his outside shot and he's just getting better. And then I go, my last question, I was like, do you ever see a world where Domas is stretching the floor for a consistent amount of time? And he's like, I think he's good without doing that. And I'm like, but okay, do you see a world?
Thanks, cop out.
Yeah.
Come on,
Monty.
I said,
hey,
goddamn
Mr.
question.
Cop out, get off my broadcast.
Well, and that how many times we've mentioned that with Sabonis? It's like, dude, if you just like take 4 threes a game, you know, and see what it looks like.
Come on.
You start stretching the floor, then it opens some shit up.
But it is nice having him in there, obviously, rebounding the basketball like he does.
Well, coming up next for the Sacramento Kings, the Vegas Summer League.
Ooh.
We're going to be down there for almost a week.
Yep.
I'm really excited about that. The Kings play their first game on the 12th, and they have Saturday, Sunday off. Then they play Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then after that, it's a question mark to see if they make the tournament. We don't know the full roster yet. The Kings have had like two Summer League rosters. One was playing in San Francisco for that California Classic, and then you had this one in Sacramento, and then they kind of swapped a little bit with the final game tonight. It's going to be interesting because like you don't have like some like prize first round pick here, like Devin Carter, but there's still things to watch. I don't think we're going to see Keon Ellis in Vegas. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I don't think Keon would be there. Could be wrong. I'm really interested to see what Colby Jones looks like. I feel like this is a big summer league for him coming up to show what he can do handling the ball, but also if he can find some rhythm with his outside shot, because I think that's an area of his game from college. And then last year in the G League where he shot about 33% from three, where it's just not consistent enough. He loves that little float game. He's really good. His defense is good, but the I think the one thing that doesn't look great for him at the moment, and going back to college, free throw shooting's not good enough, and the 3-point shooting.
But if he also keeps doing all the other little things that he does do, there will always be like some sort of role or space for him in this league. But you're exactly right. You want to make sure you're doing more so you have even more assurance about where you can go in this league, and that has a lot to do with the shot.
Double A wants to know, is Boogie Ellis playing in Vegas? You know, I don't know. The one thing that's different with summer leagues, right? Sometimes what you see is these guys sign different types of deals. Some of these players may have signed just for the California Classic.
Yeah.
And then maybe their agents are like, hey, man, you know, Detroit's calling. I want you to go play for that. They may have more of an opportunity for you to make the big club.
Yeah.
You know, so some of this is dictated by agents and stuff. So I don't know if that's been finalized, but Boogie Ellis has been a fun player. He's a fun player in college, and you see what he kind of brings to the next level. You know, people look at his size and go, I don't know. I think he's a pesky defender, you know, and he's shown the ability to knock down threes in college. I like his game. Mason Jones for a second. Kings fans know him a little more. Playing the G League last year with Stockton, of course, got that two-way deal with Sacramento once Keon got promoted. And we all, of course, I got made fun of by multiple people about how the energy that he was bringing to the bench.
Yeah.
But
I mean, people, but that's stupid. Like, that means something.
I know. But I also have liked his game for a long time. This dude last year showed up in Stockton. I guess he weighed 240 pounds. Okay. Fast forward. We're talking from November? Mm-hmm. October, November?
Yeah.
To now we're in July. He goes from 240 to now he's 195.
And he didn't use Ozempic. That's, hi. Like, if you're a celebrity, that's how you do it.
So at the end of this season, he was 220, and then he dropped to 195.
Amazing.
And, you know, it's he's put in work doing hot yoga, Pilates, eating well.
Three meals a day, fruit and water in the morning, salad in the afternoon, and sea bass at night.
I was eager to see how it impacted his game, and I'm telling you, man, he's in great condition. You know, Doug Christie said after the first game, Mason asked out at one point, but it wasn't because he was out of shape.
Yeah.
He was going so hard out there. I was right behind the bench at one point. I'm like, this guy's jersey is drenched. It was crazy, but I just feel like he's moving so much better.
Mm-hmm. He's the 3-point shooting.
I think he's had a really strong summer league, and I think he's really motivated to figure out, how do I stick in the NBA? I don't want to just be a two-way guy. How do I get minutes in the league? Well, one way you do it is you show up and you're serious and you show up in shape for summer league and you're busting your ass making the right plays. Jared Dudley had the best quote, and I'll let you jump in. Jared Dudley's a former NBA player. He's a Mavs summer league coach.
I know he is.
And I'm just telling the people, not just you. Jared Dudley, Morgan, uh-huh. He shot basketballs before. He's an assistant with Dallas, but he's their summer league coach. And I just loved what he said today. He said, there are guys who are going to score 25 points in the summer league and not play in the NBA. There will be guys who score 5 or 7 points and play in the NBA next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because summer league isn't about scoring 50 points and getting buckets. It's not about filling up the stat sheet. It's about doing the right things.
Yep.
Because if Mason Jones or Boogie Ellis or name the player on the Kings summer league team is getting an opportunity in Sacramento, they're not going to be the guy. They're going to come in and play a specific role, communicating on defense, diving on the floor for loose balls, pass, making that extra pass, taking good shots. And I think you're seeing that a lot from guys on this King Summer League squad, but I like what I'm seeing from Mason Jones. Back to you.
I don't even know what I was going to say, but I completely agree with you. And one day I will get on that Mason Jones diet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do it.
I just need a chef. Coward. Bitch. What are you?
A couple other things. The two new two-way players, Isaiah Crawford, Isaac Jones. I've been intrigued by them. I'm excited to see them more in the summer league.
Yeah.
Isaiah Crawford's got a crazy story, right? Late to basketball kind of thing. And at one point he was 280 pounds. He was working in a factory or something. Remember? Are you looking at
that?
Yeah.
Well, wait, was that Crawford? I thought that was Jones.
That's what I meant.
Yes. Okay. I was like,
My bad. No.
Isaiah Crawford.
No. Isaac Jones. Why is she looking at me like that?
Yeah.
Isaac Jones from Washington State. Yeah. And he went through a journey, right? And he's long, he's active. I'd like to see if he can knock down some shots.
Can jump out of the arena. Yes. Like, I mean, he's a lob threat. He's energy guy. I really like his personality too. Whenever he's, you know, post game interviews, all the things. And yeah, I'm excited to see more of him.
Yeah. So, and then Isaiah Crawford, you know, he may be 6'6", but God, is he just so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think defensively, seeing the way he contests and guards, he impacts the game in a big way defensively.
Things to look at the Las Vegas Summer League.
There you go. That's Morgan's way of saying, okay, shut the hell up, Deuce. Shut the hell up. I've caught 3 games in 4 days. Yeah. I'm ready to put a bow on this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All right, Morgan, final thoughts. Anything you're looking forward to in Vegas? Doesn't have to be Kings related. Anything in your life.
Okay.
Whatever you Stop want talking. Right now. Like,
you keep talking. Happy birthday, Devon Davis. You are so amazing to us. You are just the best. Shout out to Leezy for moderating and seeing you, and to everyone else that we saw at the California Classic. I met such an awesome couple tonight, James and Kim, in the back, and they were like, oh my God, Morgan, like, and I thought they were joking because they were acting like I was like, I don't know, cool and stuff. And it made me feel so good. And so I like, they were doing it so much that I was like, Are you guys
kind of being an asshole?
No, or? I was like, are you guys messing with me? Like, are you really this excited to see me? And they were, and it was the cutest thing. So thank you for making me feel so good. But all of you are so awesome, and you all make us feel so good. So thank you for even joining us on this random Tuesday Night Live.
The chat did have JC in the chat. One question, if we want to get that for you. Morgan, what about a birthday shout out to Deuce? It's his birthday month.
Ooh, no. So that's the thing. Already celebrated his birthday.
No. You know what's so funny? Mark Jones today before our game, he goes, man, what's up, the birthday boy? And I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, yep. Well, for me, I celebrate my birthday for an entire week. So your birthday continues.
That's so cute.
And I went, you're right, Mark. It's my birthday year. Let's keep it going.
42. happy birthday week, Deuce. You're so lucky that you were able to call basketball on your birthday.
Yeah, no. Awesome. Final thoughts from me.
Oh, no.
I'm ready for the DeMar DeRozan era. I'm excited for October. I feel like this DeRozan news was the injection Kings fans needed. You know, there was starting to be this, like, I know social media is just one place, but man, you just felt like, oh, people aren't feeling too good about things right now after missing the playoffs last year, after the magical year the year before. You know, they're calling Monty Vest Boy. Like, this is not good. Is Monty going to be insecure with the vest now?
Good bit.
People are feeling down. And even when the DeMar DeRozan thing first like started, the guy pop off. Me and you were like, yeah, is it really going to happen? Even the morning of, we're like, what if he like flies to sack? Is he going to get on the fly?
Yeah.
What if he doesn't sign? And you just felt like in the back of your head, he was going to the Clippers or LA, whatever.
100%.
And so for it to actually happen still feels a little bit surreal. And I'm just looking forward to this.
And
year.
You should celebrate that because, I mean, one, it, you know, it could be not as fun when the season starts or something, which I shouldn't even put that out there, but it's just the truth. But I think it's very important to celebrate these things, especially if you are in a small market and these things don't usually happen for you. And I do feel like it helps that the organization is going in the right direction.
Well, it was a fun day and we're looking forward to Vegas. We're going to be dropping content in Vegas too. We're going to try to record some interviews with people around the league, get some perspective on the Kings. And we'll drop that on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@DeuceandMo. We love you guys so, so, so much. But we got to go.
Thank you so much for joining us. Love you all. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.